Hare Krishna. So today I thought I would read from a little bit of Srimad Bhagavatam and a little bit of Nectar of Devotion. Srila Prabhupada, in this Nectar of Devotion, in chapter 10, Nectar of Devotion, he gives a little, there's a paragraph explaining expecting the Lord's mercy. And Prabhupada says there, in that section, he says, this should be the guide for all the devotees. So we're going to hear a little bit about that. First, I'm going to chant from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 14, text number 8. This is the verse that Srila Prabhupada's referring to. After, of course, I say my prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritam. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tatojayam Udirayat. Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttamashloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naistaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator, without whose work we would not have heard of Srimad Bhagavatam. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that's troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental song, is established as an irrevocable fact. So, thank you. Text, this is 10th canto. This is the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. And this is text number 8. This is Lord Brahma speaking. And I won't really explain why he's speaking this, because we have other things to talk about, okay? But it is, just for your information, it's Lord Brahma speaking. It's a famous verse. Perhaps you have some of it even memorized just by hearing it repeated so many times. If you anyway, whatever. So it goes. Tate nukampam sushamikshamano. Tate nukampam sushamikshamano. Bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Kritvagvapurbir vidatam namaste. Kritvagvapurbir vidatam namaste. Jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhak. Jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhak. Tate nukampam sushamikshamano. Bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Kridvag vapur bir vidatam namaste. Jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhak. So if you don't mind, we're not going to chant it in unison, or we're not going to chant it individually. If my little nook would just wake up, I'll turn to the... Okay, thank you. Thank you, Krishna. In control of everything. And I'll just read the translation, okay? So here's the translation. My dear Lord, One who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. I'll read it once more. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. So, as I was saying, Srila Prabhupada has a whole section of this verse in this Nectar Devotion, in Chapter 10. Chapter 10 is called Techniques of Hearing and Chanting. And under the subheading of Expecting the Lord's Mercy, this is where this verse comes in. So here it is now from Nectar of Devotion. I'm reading from Nectar Devotion. In the 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse 8, it is said, My dear Lord, any person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him and who goes on suffering the resultant actions of his past misdeeds, offering you respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, is surely eligible to become liberated, for it has become his rightful claim. So here's very enlightening words from Srila Prabhupada. He says, this statement of Srimad Bhagavatam should be the guide for all devotees. A devotee should not expect immediate relief from the reactions of his past misdeeds. No conditioned soul is free from such reactionary experiences because material existence means continual suffering or enjoyment of past activities. Shall I read that again? You've experienced it, right? Okay, no conditioned soul is free from such reactionary experiences because material existence means continued suffering or enjoyment of past activities. If one has finished his material activities, then there's no more birth. This is possible only when one begins Krishna conscious activities because such activities do not produce reaction. Therefore, as soon as one becomes perfect in Krishna consciousness, he's not going to take birth again in this material world. But here's the part for us. A devotee who is not perfectly freed from the resultant actions should therefore continue to act in Krishna consciousness seriously, even though there might be so many impediments. When such impediments arise, he should simply think of Krishna and expect his mercy. That is the only solace. If the devotee passes his days in that spirit, it is certain that he is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. By such activity, he earns his claim to enter into the kingdom of God. The exact words used in this verse is Dayabak. Dayabak refers to a son's becoming the lawful inheritor of the property of his father. In a similar way, a pure devotee who is prepared to undergo all kinds of tribulations in executing Krishna conscious duties becomes lawfully qualified to enter into the transcendental abode. Omagina chimirandasya jimandana silakaya chaksu imitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha mukham karoti vachalam sangam vandai tegirin Hare Krishna. So in the Nectar of Instruction, in Nectar of Instruction, in the introduction there, Srila Prabhupada says, if we develop, that developing the proper attitude is essential to make progress in Krishna consciousness. We must have the proper devotional attitude in order to make proper and uninterrupted and progress in Krishna consciousness. So sections like this give us the postmarks, the landmarks. how it is that we develop a proper attitude in devotional service. Because perhaps you've heard once or twice that the process of devotional service is blissful, that chanting Hare Krishna, the benefits are unlimited, the bliss is unlimited. So many things are so encouraging us. But if you examine our lives and our moods, we often don't always carry that bliss with us. There's impediments, there's bumps, there's stress, there's unexpected calamities, there's disease, there's accidents, there's health issues, there's so many things. Financial stress, this problem, that problem. And yet we say, oh yeah, but devotees are blissful, Prabhu. Be happy. So here we get an idea how it is, and how it is that a devotee can maintain that attitude, that proper attitude of expecting the Lord's mercy. We can't, and things in Krishna consciousness, information, it's not standalone pieces of information. They're like every information that we get in Krishna consciousness, it's like building blocks for our strength, for our understanding, complete understanding. So one can't have the attitude that's expressed here, that when impediments come, oh, I'll just, you know, wait Krishna's mercy. You can't have that attitude unless you have some prior information about who we are and what we're doing here. So that prior information is explained so many places in Bhagavad Gita, that the living entity is eternal. This one life that you're going through is just happens to be the life that you're in now, but you've lived many, many lives in the past, and being eternal, if you're not completely liberated and out of the cycle of birth and death, there's many, many lives in the future that are awaiting you. And all of that is because of what the way the material world is made. For every activity that we do, every activity that we do, every step we take, every activity that we do has a reaction, karmic reaction, good or bad, or mixed. And for every activity in every life, just take for this lifetime, you know, so many things, you know, you walk down the street, you might have stepped on an ant, you might have done this, you're driving in your car, this might have happened, so many things, you ate this for dinner, you ate that for breakfast, so many things. Every single thing has a reaction to it. So those, sometimes it's explained actually in the first chapter in Nectar of Devotion, the reactions are like, they're like little seeds. Like you could take the, you could, for a visual, you can picture like a mustard seed. Good reaction, mustard seed. Bad reaction, mustard seed. This, so many things. We have accumulated just in this one lifetime, you could say a bag. Not just the kind that you buy at, you know, India Bazaar, you know, a 5-pound bag. But let's say 100-pound bag. 100-pound bag of mustard seeds, of actions and reactions, positive, negative, mix, this, that, this, that. And in this life, that's just in this life. Now, we can't remember all of those things, right? Some probably would give us the test. He said, if I even asked you what you were doing 24 hours ago, exactly this time, it would be hard for you to remember exactly what you were doing at 5:30 on Saturday. Or at least it might even be more difficult. What were you doing on 5:30 on Monday? What to speak of 5:30 last month? It is so many things. What to speak of, you know, since you have been born. So we might not be able to remember all of our actions and reactions. And therefore, sometimes, when something happens to us unexpected, unpleasant, stressful, whatever, time after time, or even one time, perhaps our knee-jerk type of reaction is, why is this happening to me? I'm a good person. I don't deserve this. Why is it happening to me? I've been chanting Hare Krishna, I did this, that, whatever. Why is it happening to me? But here, this section Srila Prabhupada's giving us, that we should understand that there's so many things from our past activities that Krishna's just giving us a little reaction. We're just getting a little token. And sometimes it might be particularly stressful, sometimes it might be particularly wonderful. But any one of those things, here is the attitude that we should cultivate. Cultivating an attitude means practice. It doesn't mean that you hear it once and you got it down and you can apply it. It means practice, and that's what the Association of Devotees is helpful for, to help us remember how to apply things properly and apply them in our lives so that we can actually make steady and continual progress on our path back to Godhead. And that's what we're all, ultimately that's what we're all looking for. But when those unexpected things in life come, it's not always easy to grab the proper mood, the proper attitude. So we need to continually hear. We need to continually hear. That will help us. That will help us in our balancing what we might have as a knee-jerk reaction or a conditioned reaction as to why is this happening to me? I don't deserve it, or I wasn't that bad. I just did a little something or other, and this seems to be so difficult. This whatever circumstance I'm going through seems to be so extreme. It seems a little unfair. Did anyone ever think that was something in their life? You might not want to admit it, but I'll admit it. Okay? You know, you think, it seems a little unfair. But actually, if we can put the different aspects of the philosophy together in our life, that'll help us see that so many things we've done in the past, so many things, and not remembering all of them, who can say that we didn't do something way worse, you know, and deserve something, as explained here, and deserve a reaction that's way stronger. But the proper attitude is that Krishna's so kind. He's just giving me a little token. You know what a token is? A little. It's not even what we deserve. It's just a small amount. We're just getting a small amount of what we deserve. He's so kind. And another interesting point is that it's all a custom fit. Because Krishna, even without the aid of super fast computers and super big memory or anything like that, Krishna has it down. He knows everybody's activities, everybody's heart's desires, everyone's future activities. He knows everything about every one of us. And he doesn't get it mixed up. He doesn't get the account. Sometimes you get a bill for something that really isn't your bill because the company got confused. Well, Krishna doesn't get confused like that. And his agents, they don't make mistakes like that. So we're getting a custom fit. And Krishna explains Srila Rupa Goswami explains in the beginning part of Nectar Devotion that anyone who just takes to the process, even the very beginner, takes to the process of Krishna consciousness, then they're not under the stringent laws of material nature anymore. Stringent laws of material nature means every action gets an equal and opposite reaction. That's material nature. Yantra Rudrani Maya, the living entity seated on a machine, and he's getting action and reaction, just what he deserves. But for a devotee, it's a different category. For someone who's trying, someone who tries, turns their attention one time and just prays to the Lord, my dear Lord, even once, please let me love you. Please let me serve you. My dear Lord, I take shelter of you. Please guide me. Just one time, that heartfelt prayer means that that person now comes under the influence of the internal potency, no longer the external potency, material nature, but the internal potency, which is controlled by Srimati Radharani herself, Ladini Shakti. So that internal potency, what happens to the devotee is a custom plan to help one make continual progress in devotional service. Now, sometimes Any parent will know. Any parent has experienced this, and have seen. Sometimes when the child is acting up, sometimes just a few kind words will calm the child down and put him in the right place. And sometimes you have to be a little more tough than that, right? Sometimes it has to be a little tough love. So Krishna, he's custom arranging our lives. And sometimes if we're holding on to particular attachments or this or that, so many things, he's giving us a custom fit, something that will help us give up our attachment to some mundane activities and turn our attachment to Krishna. So that's the beauty of devotional service. That's the beauty, that we can, by hearing passages like this, develop that attitude that will keep us on the path. No one ever said that the path of devotional service is going to be without difficulties. Although Srila Prabhupada often says it's quite easy. But then sometimes he says, yes, but it's also very difficult too. So he says many things like that. It's sometimes, but we have that conception. We have a conception that if I take to devotional service, then nothing else there shouldn't be any problems in my life. Well, that's very soon straightened out by just living your life, and you see that there's so many difficulties that come along. But if we have this attitude, if we can develop this attitude, if we pray for this proper attitude, then the difficulties in life that come our way, that the Lord kindly just gives us a teeny weeny drop of what we really deserve. And if we have that attitude, oh Lord, you're so kind. I know that mustard, that bag of mustard seed of all my due reactions, I know that I'm just getting a little handful in this life. I realize I deserve worse. Please help me, and please let me love you. And then we can develop. We can continue on in a fortified mood. How to make continued progress? So that's easily said, isn't it? Well, we're all sitting here, and we're all relatively okay. But as soon as the door opens and we go out and experience, you know, a stubbed toe or a broken ankle or a this or a that or a stolen wallet or a crashed car or a flunked exam or a broken relationship or, you know, so many things. It's not always as easy. It's not always so simple and easy to apply it. But by hearing it and praying to the Lord for his help, living in the association of devotees, then we can gradually apply it in our life. And in the words of Srimad Bhagavatam, mukti pade sadaya bhak. Daya bhak, as Prabhupada said there, daya bhak means it's our inheritance, it's our rightful claim. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, on his comment on this verse, his Saratha Darshani, he says, what is the qualification for someone to inherit the property of their father? There's not a heck of a lot of qualification. You just have to be alive. If you're alive when your aunt dies and she's willed to you her fortune, then you get it. If you're alive when your father dies, then you get the inheritance that's due you. So if we develop this attitude, then we become eligible. It automatically, by that attitude, we become automatically eligible to enter into the kingdom of the Lord. We just have to stay alive in our Krishna consciousness. So those are a few of my thoughts on that topic. And if you want to have any discussion on that, we could, or some questions, we could have a little bit of discussion. Dharmaraj Prabhu? How much? How scarier can it be? That's exactly the point, that the devotee, sorry that you got the mic at the last minute, but thank you. That's okay. so just for the internet audience, I'll summarize it, that I was saying that there's the reactions, what the devotees suffer and a non-devotee suffer, and appear that they suffer in the same, they might go through the same calamities, but the only difference is that the devotee is equipped with knowledge, and therefore he doesn't suffer in the same way. And that's exactly the point. That by this, it's not that, and that was the point, it's not that there's not trials and tribulations, disease, old age, you know, so many things. It's not that they're not there in the life of the devotee, but with that transcendental knowledge, they're not affected in the same way with such hankering and lamentation and suffering and misery that someone who doesn't have this information. That's the whole key that makes the difference there. And therefore, we need to continually hear. We really do need to hear, because otherwise, how do you put that... how do you fortify your bank account? How do you fortify your proper attitude if we're not hearing regularly about how to maneuver our way through this labyrinth of material existence? That's the way to do that. Nimai Pandit Prabhu? Oh, he's in the back there. Nimai, raise your hand. Thanks. You'll be next. Thank you.
Thank you for the class, Mataji. I was wondering...
Is it pushed on?
When we say that we should expect Lord's mercy, what exactly will happen when one gets Lord's mercy? What is it?
Well, that's a great question. When we say we should expect the Lord's mercy, what is it? When we say that you should expect the Lord's mercy, that means you should only have sweet balls in your life. No, that doesn't mean that. No. It means that Krishna loves you and that he's concerned and he wants you back home even more than you and I want to go back home. And therefore, his mercy is that he's pulling us towards him through life's activities. And that's his mercy, that he's pulling us towards him. Go over here first and then... Sorry. Close to your mouth, please.
So someone in knowledge seems to...
Pull it up to your mouth there.
Someone in knowledge seems to be detached when life circumstance comes, and someone who doesn't have knowledge seems to be affected. What is the determining factor? Like, why is... Like, the same thing happens to the devotees and non-devotee. Why is... Like, what makes the consciousness so affected by these tribulations? Like, what's the difference? You know?
Of a non-devotee?
Like, what is the determining factor? What causes, like, attachment? Like, why are we so affected?
Desire. Desire causes attachment because we are desiring to enjoy in the material world. So someone who's desiring to enjoy in the material world, and that's their whole focus, then when things don't go according to their desire, attachment, lust, anger, greed, all of those things develop. That's there. So someone who has knowledge, they might be, and someone who has knowledge, it doesn't that, I mean, we all have some knowledge, varying degrees, amount of knowledge. It doesn't automatically mean that we're detached. And detachment also doesn't mean that we don't feel anything. Oftentimes we use this word detachment and we're thinking that a devotee is like, you know, a zombie or whatever, you know, not feeling, not having an emotion, not having any interaction. But that's not necessarily true, because all transcendental literature explains all of those relationships and those emotions, but they're focused on Krishna's pleasure. And therefore, even though there's pulling on the one side, attachment for whatever, because my primary focus is focused on spiritual progress, then that pulling is much less. Kalipani Prabhu, did you have a comment or a question? None of others.
Jananivas Prabhu in Mayapur was once asked a question like that. How does Krishna's mercy come?
Mm-hmm.
His answer was, it comes as service. Meaning that the five senses and the mind are engaged directly in serving Krishna, and we're conscious of it, we're aware of it, and that way we're completely shielded from the influence of the three modes of material nature. That's Krishna's practical mercy.
Thank you. Prabhu, here, in the front.
I appreciate what you're expressing, how we can have realistic expectations in our devotional life. Actually, if we understand that everyone who becomes an aspiring devotee has to go through the anarta nivritti stage, we will expect the anartas, they have to come.
And anarta nivritti means, for those that might not know, because not everybody knows.
Our anartas, which are our attachments to this material world and our past sinful actions that we performed.
Unwanted things.
Unwanted things.
Qualities. Okay, so I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just, because, you know, not everybody understands.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, thank you. So those have to be destroyed, and Krishna doesn't let us go back to the spiritual world without going through them. So they're going to come up, and they will, you know, it's just a matter of time. And my experience in my own life is, it's a choice. Am I going to go deep, or am I going to stay shallow?
Mm.
And it's explained that very few people go deep. This is Prabhupada explained this, out of maybe one out of thousands, somebody actually really advances in Krishna consciousness. So this is something we all have to ask ourselves, is am I willing to really go deep and face my anartas? And my realization in how to do that is to grab onto the Acharya's lotus feet. Because if we think I can grab onto Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna says, one who says he's my devotee is not my devotee.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go through his devotee.
Thank you. Thank you. Very nice. So that choice is always ours. We have the choice how we're going to react to things. It's not always easy, but we have to make a conscious choice. Thank you. Prabhu behind.
I didn't really have a question, but we discussed this in a class recently at the Krishna House.
Keep it close to your mouth or else we won't hear. Thank you.
Okay.
Sorry.
And,
almost like you have to eat it. Not pleasant.
Well, pain and suffering are very usually said almost without a space in the middle. But they're two very different things. Like one may break his foot and feel pain for it, but that doesn't mean he has to suffer for it.
Good point. Thank you.
Suffering and pain are very distinct things.
Yep.
And an older devotee in the class, he brought up the connotations of the word expect, and expecting his mercy. Like a lot of times people hope for mercy, like winning the lottery, like, oh, maybe I'll get some mercy today. But it's you know, you expect things that you know are going to happen. Like if you don't go to work for a month, you may expect to get fired. If you play the lottery, you can't expect to win. You know, you expect things that deep down you know are coming.
That's good. Two good points. Thank you. Appreciate it. Just one thing. Were there any ladies that had any comments? Because, or questions? Okay. Advaita Chari Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Nanda Prabhu, for sharing this transcendental knowledge. All our friends and guests, Nanda Prabhu have enumerated a very, very fundamental question that has baffled Judeo-Christian philosophers for last 2,000+ years. The question was in Old Testament, Book of Jobs, why bad things happen to good people? What perspective Nanda Prabhu is bringing is that bad things and good things will happen to everybody, including devotees. But Prabhupada and scripture is assuring us that as long as we continue to do our prescribed duties, which essentially is service to Lord, uncontaminated, unmotivated, and continuous service to Lord, then we are assured a place where these things will not happen, no more death, no more birth. And so the uniqueness of your attending this class here in this temple is, please, this knowledge is not available in any other church. Because Saint Augustine handles this question, why bad things happen to good people. And Nanda Prabhu, if you permit me, and I can explain, what did Saint Augustine try to explain in 16th century? He said, question one, God is either not all powerful, because then why he let bad things happen to good people, or God is not compassionate that he let his devotees suffer. Now both of these are slippery slopes. And till today, I have asked cardinals, I have asked bishops, what little child has done that he has to be aborted or he has to suffer? They cannot explain. They say, this is mercy, mystery of God.
So thank you very much, Advaita Chari Prabhu. If you don't mind, if we could continue on. There was a couple more people. I realize your points are really important, but I think if we could summarize it by saying that we're very grateful that we're able to hear from Srila Prabhupada in the Vedas, and giving us complete or more complete knowledge, and if you'll allow us to continue on, because
thank
it's already
much.
6 o'clock, and thank you, Prabhu. Yamaraj?
Hare Krishna.
Hi, Baba.
Thank you, Mother, for this this class, and this couldn't come at a better time. This particular verse and this class for me, because I was going through some trials and tribulations, and I come to the temple today and I hear this verse, and it's like Krishna's message to me that reciprocating, and it's very, very powerful. So that's Krishna's mercy. So thank you for
that's because it's living scripture, since we're reacting with everyone. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Dhamaraj Prabhu, yes, sorry. Thank you. Well, this will be the last one, then we'll break.
Sorry to take the mic twice.
No, no, it's okay.
I just heard another explanation of how Krishna's mercy comes.
Uh-huh.
I want to share it.
Please.
That it's described like someone has a pot of water, but at the bottom of the pot, there's a lot of dirty stuff there. So generally, with a non-devotee's life, that pot is just like pretty settled, and then once in a while, something pops up, and then you try to deal with it. But when a devotee comes to Krishna consciousness, it's like you take a stick and start stirring that pot, and all these anarthas, all these things just pops up, and Krishna helps to use a strainer to help dip it out pretty quickly. So like that, he gets out of the clutches of the material world at a very fast pace.
Thank you. Thanks for that. And we'll end there on that note. Thank you very kindly for your attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Shri Krishna Balaram Radha Shyam Ki Jai.